Yishayahu not only gave nevuah for his time, but he set up a Beit Midrash, a school of learning that existed until the time of the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. And so it may very well be that Yechezkel was part of this great Beit Midrash, the yeshiva that was founded by them, and considered Yishayahu his Rebbe. He is quoting from Yishayahu, Perek Chavav, in which Yishayahu is describing some of the cataclysmic events that will take place before the coming of Mashiach, before the time of Geula. The terrible battles of Gog Magog, which he doesn't mention as Gog Magog, but a terrible cataclysmic time. And he's saying one of the things that you should do, Am Yisrael, is try to stay out of it. Go into your houses, chavis, go into your house, hide for a little bit. In other words, what Yishayahu was saying and Yechezkel is quoting, if you don't have to get into the eye of the storm, then avoid it. There is no need to make a big issue of this. Just try to stay out of it. Don't do it. And in Yechezkel, in his Sefer, also, there are a few prakim in which he seems to look for the same idea. He says in Perek Chaf, these are the things Asher Ya'aseh Otam Adam v'chay bahem. There are some things that if you can avoid something, maybe it's not such a bad idea to avoid it. Amrule, and so Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah answered Yechezkel. What do you want people to say in the future? What will history say about us? Do you want people to say that everybody, all of the nations in the world, bow down to this tselem? Is that what you want? Amar lahem, he said to them, Uma atem omrim, what would you prefer? Amrulo, they said, Anu mevakshim lifgombo. We want to do something against this. Shenihyeh sham velo nishtachavelo. We really want to make a statement here. We want to be there and not bow down. Kidei sheyihyu omrim. So that they will say, and it means history will report this by saying, Kol ha'olam sagad la'tzelem hazeh milvad Yisrael. So that in the future, they will say, all of the world bow down to this tzelem, except for Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael did not. That's what we want. Amar lahem, and so Yechezkel answered them, Im kidatchem, if that is really your opinion, hamtinuli ad she'emloch bagvura. Then give me a couple of minutes, wait for me until I consult with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Isn't that nice to be able to say that? He says, wait a minute, stay right here until I consult with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hahuda Amar, as it says in Sefer Yechezkel, very, very interesting, Ba'u anashim mizikne Yisrael lidrosh et Hashem vayeshvu lefanai. In Yechezkel Perikhav, Yechezkel tells us, there were people from the elders of Yisrael who came and sat before me. They came to consult with me. In Sefer Yechezkel, it doesn't say anything about who these people were. And it says nothing about what they came to consult. They come to consult with the Navi, and essentially, Umihayu, the Medrash says, Mihayu, Ela Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. These were our three heroes. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amar lefnei, Slicha, Yechezkel said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hananya, Mishael, v'Azariah mevakshim litein nafsham al kedushat shmecha. Yechezkel says, Rabbono Shel Olam, these three men want to give their lives in order to sanctify your name. Mitkayem ata aleihem, olo. Are you going to do a miracle for them? Mitkayem means, are you going to keep them alive, right? Are you going to keep them alive, Rabbono Shel Olam? Are you going to do something to keep them alive or not? Amar lo, Hashem answered him, Eini mitkayem aleihem. No, I'm not going to do a miracle for them. Hello, who de Amar, Ben Adam, in the Perek, go back to the Perek. When these people come to consult Yechezkel, and he says, he goes to the Kaddish Baruch Hu, he says, these people have come to consult with me. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu answers, Ben Adam. A Kaddish Baruch Hu always calls Yechezkel Ben Adam. Daber el zikne Yisrael v'amarta alehem v'gomer halidrosh oti atem ba'im. You're coming now to consult with me? Years when I sent all those to you when the Beit HaMikdash was still in existence, did you come and consult with me? In the Perek, there's some anger there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. We're not so sure in the Perek who these Zakenim are. The idea in the Perek is that the Zakenim came to Yechezkel when they heard that the Beit HaMikdash had been destroyed. Remember that these people had been brought to Bavel before the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. And when they heard that it was destroyed, they came to Yechezkel to say, Yechezkel, can you tell us what will happen now? Can you tell us when we will be brought back to Eretz Yisrael? And the answer was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why didn't you come before? Why didn't you ask all those years, what can we do to make the situation better? So at this point, the Midrash is coming in, that Midrash Shir HaShirim Rabbah comes in and says, when Yechezkel heard the answer that Hashem is saying, he's angry, right? Hashem is angry and he's saying, I'm not going to do a miracle for them. He cried, v'konein, and he started making a kina, an elegy. V'amar, and he said, vai, woe, l'sonei Yisrael. Woe to the enemies of Yisrael. In other words, woe to Yisrael, whose enemies will be happy to hear this. Of Dasha Erit Yehuda, the remnant of Yehuda has been lost. Shelo Nishtayer Mi Yehuda Ela Elu Bilvad. These are the only people from Yehuda who are left who are still ma'aminim, and you are not going to be v'zot tshuva ba'alahem. And you're giving me this answer that you are not going to do a miracle for them? V'havei b'chi v'azil. And he was crying bitterly, and he left, so to speak, from before the presence of Hashem. Kevan de'ata, when he came back to Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, Amrule, they said to him, Ma amar lecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu? What did Hashem say to you? Amar lahem, eino mitkayem alechem. He said, this is what he said, he is not going to establish a miracle in order to save your lives. Amrulo, and they said to him, Bein mitkayem, bein she'ein mitkayem, anu notnim nafshotenu al kedushat Hashem, whether he is going to save us or whether he is not going to save us, we are going to, we are determined to give our lives al kiddush Hashem, to sanctify the name of Hashem. Teda lecha shehu kein. And you should know that this is the truth. The Medrash comes in and says it. She'ad shelo ba'u etel Yechezkel ma amru lo Nebuchadnezzar. Because before they came to Yechezkel, they said to Nebuchadnezzar, we know that our God has the power to save us. But after they came to Nebuchadnezzar, after they came to Yechezkel, sorry, they went back to Nebuchadnezzar and said, and even if he doesn't save us, we are determined to give our lives al kiddush Hashem. In the pasuk that we read in the perek in Daniel, it's in the middle of one pasuk. They say, we know that our God has the power to save us, and if not, we are still determined to give our lives. Here, it's separating it and saying, at first they're saying, our God has the power to save. And then they're saying, even if he doesn't save us, it doesn't matter, which is really, really interesting. Kishayatsu milifnei Yechezkel, when they left Yechezkel, nigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amar lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Yechezkel and said to him, Yechezkel, ma'ata savur, what do you think, Yechezkel? She'eini mitkayem aleihem. Do you think that I'm really not going to save them? Mitkayem ali aleihem bevadai. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, of course, I am going to do a miracle to keep them alive. Ela shvik lahon velo tamir lahon midai. But what I want is, Ezov Otam, I'm reading you the Ivrit translation, Shvik Lahem is, let them go, willing to give their lives even though they think I'm not going to do a great miracle. Al Tomar Lahem Davar. Don't go running after them, Yechezkel. Don't tell them anything. Kedei She'yelchu V'tumam. So that they go in all innocence, truthfully not knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save them. It's very, very interesting because it teaches us something about Kiddush Hashem. You know, when we read these stories, we kind of know the stories. We know that they're going to be saved. And we don't quite put ourselves in that position of the not knowing, the people who are doing these actions who don't know. And in this case, where they've actually heard from the Navi that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to save them, and yet they feel strongly that no matter what happens, they need to make this statement that they are not going to bow down, that there's got to be something in history that is going to report that they did not, all of the world might have bowed down to this image that Nebuchadnezzar made, but these three Jews did not.
Girl.
So it's a very, very interesting idea of Emunah.
Pearl?
Yes?
Reminds me of Kedat Yitzchak, when Abraham put the scalpel in his hand to do the shechitah, only then the malach came to stop him. In other words, to try to see how far will he go with the akedah.
Yes.
And it was like another test.
Yes, in other words, are you really going to go through it? He bound him, he put him on the mizbeach, and he bound him.
And he
took machelet biado. Very, very interesting indeed. Yes. It's really interesting because this kind of act certainly has a hashpa'a on the future. And of course we know that this is really what's being emphasized in the Perek. In other words, the idea of the Kiddush Hashem, the idea that it did have a hashpa'ah, that Nebuchadnezzar was certainly influenced, and he made this statement about God being great, the God that the Jews believed in being great. That becomes the point of the whole story. And it doesn't tell us anything about what happened afterwards, because there are certain interesting things that go on in the story. Afterwards, it says, though Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah never existed, they do not appear again in the entire Sefer. The Sefer starts in Perek Aleph with the four, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, being taken into the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. They appear in these prakim, and suddenly they disappear after this great nace. We also don't hear anything about what happened to the idol. No, I shouldn't have said idol, excuse me. What happened to that statue, that great golden statue that Nebuchadnezzar made? Because we don't hear anything about the statue afterwards. The statue doesn't exist. Chazal tell us that there were many miracles that happened that day, that when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were removed from the Kivshan HaEsh, and when they were seen not to have been touched by the flames, if you remember when we read the Perek last week, even their clothing did not have a reach, didn't have a smell of smoke. They were totally untouched by what was going on. Chazal say that there were all of these nisim that happened on that day. One, Sof HaKivshan, the entire fiery furnace started flying up. In other words, it rose from the ground and was flying. V'nifratz, and it split open. And all of the ashes and the flames fell to the ground. In other words, before the eyes of all of the people, this fiery furnace was completely destroyed. It was also the same day that we are told that Yechezkel brought the dry bones to life, which, if you remember, was in the same place. This Kivshan HaEsh is set up in the valley of Dura, in Dura, and Dura is the place where Yechezkel is taken by Hashem. He's taken, and we remember, we don't know if it's a vision or if he's actually taken, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually takes him bodily and shows him that the entire valley is covered with dry bones. And according to this Midrash, this happened on the very same day. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were saved. Oh, I forgot to tell you, the Tselem, the great golden image, fell down and was totally smashed and destroyed. The fiery furnace totally came apart. And Yechezkel brought those dry bones to life. All of those things happened at the same time. So we have a few questions to ask still. We're still not ready to go on because we have all of these, I think, very, very interesting questions. And hold on. One of the things, I really find it very interesting, I'm using this Sefer that was written by Yigal Ariel. I mentioned it last week. It's called Mor Vahadas. It is a discussion of Daniel, Sefer Daniel, and Megillat Esther. And he really brings a lot out that I probably would not have gotten without him. He leads me to all of these medrashim and all interesting, interesting ideas. And he says, please remember that the story of Daniel is one of the first tales, so to speak, historical reports of Am Yisrael in Galut. He says, how are Am Yisrael intended to act when they are in Galut? We have some very good examples before this. For instance, I'm going to actually read it in the words of Harav Ariel, who, by the way, was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat HaGolan. Lifnei HaGolim niftechu efo kama maslulim lehitnagutam bagalut. People who go into exile, specifically Am Yisrael, when they go into exile, there are many paths open to them. How are they supposed to interact with the people and especially the leaders in Galut? Aleph, lehitmaser lepu'ulot letakanat ha'amim v'kidush shem shamayim ba'ofan chiyuvi b'kirbam. Should you give yourself over to letakana, to correct something that's going wrong in the nation that you live in, which would cause a sanctification of the name of heaven in a very positive way. In other words, should you do something that really is going to improve the society that you live in a way that people will say, ah, look, it was a Jew who did that. Like, give me an example, before this, who was a Jew that was in Galut that helped the society, that saved the society?
Yosef.
Yosef, excellent. Yosef, the Yosef model. So you can have the Yosef model, right, of how to act in Galut. Yosef was the activist, right? He went before Paro, he explained his dream, and not only did he explain his dream, but he said, and I'll tell you what to do about it, right? I'll tell you how you can really save your nation and get extremely rich, meanwhile, too. Another method is, Lo lehilachem bagalut, don't fight against the exile. Ela lishmor ba al taharato shel hagola v'yichudo, but rather to be very careful to guard the individual nature of the nation that's in galut and its purity. In other words, to concentrate on what is going on with Am Yisrael in the Galut, to make sure that they retain their uniqueness. B'shtadlanut ge'eh, with huge effort, b'ma'avak chacham v'ikesh, with a fight that is wise and strong. In other words, to really know what the plan, what it is you're going to do to keep Am Yisrael safe. Kamo Daniel. And that's the Daniel we're going to see. We're going to see as we continue in the Sefer. The Daniel model was not to overtly change things in Bavel, but to try to guard, to make sure that Am Yisrael were able to keep their way of life, l'mashal, tefillah. Tefillah. He made a great effort to make the statement that Am Yisrael need tefillah. That's model two. Three, lehistagel el hagalut v'lekabel ota, to accept the state of exile, lif'ol ba'arma u'bahatsneya. Oh, you're going to know in a minute who this is. To work in the exile, but arma, like slyness, and hatsneya is quietly, secretly, not to tell anybody what you're doing, to work in a backhanded, quiet, behind the walls type of way for the good of the nation, And who was the model of that? Loki Gida Esther et Amav et Molarita. Esther didn't tell Esther. Mordechai said to her, don't you tell who you are. You are, you have been put in the palace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in the palace for a reason. So you have the Esther model. The Esther model is where you were working behind the scenes. Really, literally behind the scenes. And of course you have Lishmar al Yichudam, to guard their individuality. Lishmar al Kiyum HaMitzvot, to guard the ability to do mitzvot. Ulashem kach gam lehit aleim mishilton ha'umot bishat hatzorech, and even to publicly shrug off the power of the foreign nation, the domination of the foreign nation on you publicly if it's necessary, bishat hatzorech, and even to rebel publicly against them. And that, of course, it is the Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah model. It is also the Mordechai model, because if you remember Mordechai, when he heard about the terrible declaration, the terrible gezerah that had been put out, he went out in the streets of the city and he put on sak va'efer va'yitzak tza'aka gedola umara. He went out into the center street of the city so that everybody heard him, right? Including, of course, Esther. And so we have these different models. We will see more about Daniel, of course, as we go through the sefer. Chazal asks the question, what happened to Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah that they disappeared? They disappear from the sefer. We don't know where they are. They're not there. So I want to read to you, Rabbanan, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, Lehechan Azlu. What happened to them? Where did they go? Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. By the way, this is also from Shir HaShirim Rabbah, from the Medrash Rabbah on Shir HaShirim. Amar Rav, three opinions about what happened to them. Rav says, Ba'ayin hara meitu. Listen, they died as a result of ayin hara. I want you to think about these. Ushmuel amar, so we have a disagreement between Rav and Shmuel, which happens a lot. Birok tavu. Rok is spit. They drowned in spit, in saliva, but saliva that spit at them. Rabbi Yochanan amar, there's a third opinion. Alula Eretz Yisrael, they went to Eretz Yisrael, v'nasu nashim v'holidu banim v'banot. They left, they had to leave Bavel, they couldn't stay in Bavel, Rabbi Yochanan says. They went to Eretz Yisrael, they got married, they had children. So it's very interesting, because what does it really mean, all three of these things? What are they really telling us? What is Rav saying? It's really interesting. It's saying this, what happened here is a very unusual incident. Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah were willing to give their lives, al kiddush Hashem. They're saved in a great miracle. What do you think the reaction of the people is to the fact that this great miracle was done for them? So I'm trying to find something that I really wanted to read to you. Okay, I'm going to read you the whole paragraph because I can't find it. Tshuvat HaChachamim hi, the answer that we just have from the Chachamim, which note we have not really explained. שעמידתם של חנניה מישאל ועזריה הייתה מעשה חריג במציאות הגלותית. This is an unusual happening in what is usually the story of galut, of exile. Eina efsharit kashitan. This is not a way that anybody can live in exile. In other words, to constantly be battling against authorities, to put yourself in the eye of a storm, is not the way that any nation can live in exile. Ve'ein hi yichola l'shamesh kahadracha l'rabim o norma michuyevet. This is not a positive norm. You can't hold it up as an example of how people should act in galut. Chananya, Mishael and Azariah sheshafu et avir hachirut hitzlichu berega histori achat lekadesh shem shamayim. They succeeded in 1 minute to sanctify the name of heaven. Aval lo yicholim hayu lahamshich acharav b'chayehem haragilim. But they couldn't go on and lead normal lives after that amazing moment. Hametziyut hameuvevet shel hagalut hayta avuram kveda minaso v'hem metu. The actual life in the galut was too heavy for them to carry, and they died. According to Rav and Shmuel, they died. Remember that Rav said they died with, what was the first one? Ayin hara. The second opinion was that they drowned in spit. And the third one was not that they died, but that they had to leave and go to Eretz Yisrael. What is really going on? Rav samet hadagesh al adikui achitzoni. At any rate, I want you to listen to what they're saying. It's very, very interesting. Rav is saying, ayin hara, that the nations couldn't stand what had happened to Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah, nachon? The nations couldn't stand it. And the ayin hara of the nation around them, the nation that was the ruling nation, the Babylonians, was that these people, they can't stand it. And so it caused them to die. In other words, they looked at them with ayin hara. They resented that these people were not killed when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and that they got away with not bowing down to the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had made. In other words, Rav said the outside world didn't allow them to exist. Shmuel said, forget about the outside world. It was the Jews. That's the spit. The Jews said to them, you know, you really could have put us in great trouble. When you refused to bow down, all of us could have been punished for what you did. Remember I told you it's like the Mordechai thing? Remember that when Mordechai refused to bow down to Haman, that according to the Midrash, there were Jews that said, why did you do that? You could have brought down the anger of the kingdom on all of the Jewish people. You caused the decree to kill everybody. It wasn't Avodah Zarah. You weren't asked to do Avodah Zarah. Couldn't you have just been normal like everybody else and ignored the whole thing? In other words, that the Jews couldn't let Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah live. Remember at the end of the Megillah, the next to last pasuk where it says, no, it's the last pasuk, Mordechai yasa milifnei hamelech milvush malchut. Mordechai went out before the king in his royal garments, and then it says, ratzui l'rov echad. He was acceptable to most. of his brothers because there were some Jews that resented what he did. That's going on here with Shmuel. There were Jews that resented what Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did. And that also caused their eventual demise. And then there's the third opinion, Rabbi Yochanan, who himself lived in Eretz Yisrael, who said, wait a minute. It's true they couldn't live in Galut anymore. They just left and went to Eretz Yisrael. And he gives proof of it because we see in Sefer Zechariah that takes place about almost 70 years after this, right? In Sefer Zechariah, Yehoshua, who is the Kohen Gadol of the first Kohen Gadol of the second Beit HaMikdash, there is a Medrash that he also was thrown into the Kibshan HaEsh with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And Yehoshua is in Eretz Yisrael with guess who? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who have been living in Eretz Yisrael, lo, these 70 years that have passed in between. So they left, and they were living a good life in Eretz Yisrael. Phew! And with your permission, I want to do one more thing about this story before we go on. There's just so much here that I'm afraid that I'm not doing it justice. Essentially, what the Baalei HaMedrash, the Medrash on Shir HaShirim Rabbah, is trying to teach us is, this is a story of Galut. People, it's a story of how Am Yisrael were able to find a modus vivendi, a way of life in exile. Every single piece of this is important. If you are going to do a great public act like Kiddush Hashem, then it may very well be that you are going to have to pay the piper. Pay the piper, don't we say that? What's the expression? There are going to be repercussions to everything you do. If you are going to do an overt action, guess what? There are going to be overt repercussions. The one thing that we haven't spoken about is, where was Daniel when all of this was going on? Where was our hero when all of this was going on? Chazal have some unbelievable things to say. So basically, I'm going to read you the following. Minatzad Acher, from another side of the story, Bi'er Medrash Bikorti Ma'od, a very critical Medrash, explains et ha'alumuto ha'mistorit shel Daniel mi'bik'at Dura. It tells us about the mysterious disappearance of Daniel from the Bik'ah of Dura, from that valley, what was going on. In other words, Daniel is not there for the great miracle of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And he's also not there when Yechezkel is bringing the dead back to life. Where was Daniel? And the Medrash tells us, and it is from Rega, it's an Agadata in Sanhedrin, the Perakachelak, the portion of Sanhedrin that talks about people who have a chelak olam haba and people that do not have a chelak in olam haba. And the question is, b'sha'asha masru Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah et nafsham, Daniel lehechan alach? Where did Daniel go at the time that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were giving their lives for Kiddush Hashem? Amar Rava, Rava said, "Lemichra nara Rabba bitveria, or bitura." He went to oversee a great bridge that was going to be built over a great river. Great river. He's overseeing the building of a bridge. Shmuel Amar, La'atvi Bizra de Aspata. Aspata, excuse me. I want to remember what that is. Rega. Okay, I'm going to read you the last one and then we'll go back to this one. I'm sorry, I can't remember it, but we'll get to it in the commentary. Rabbi Yochanan, we have the same characters that are talking about what happened to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are also discussing now what happened to Daniel. Why isn't Daniel there? Rav Yochanan Amar, La'atve Chazire de Alexandre Shel Mitzrayim, to bring a shipment of some delicacies, of some food that the Babylonians liked, which were chazir, pigs, right, pork, from Alexandria of Mitzrayim, to oversee bringing a shipment of delicacies to the nation. Basically, it's an amazing midrash. Maybe ulai nitan lahavinan, we have to really understand what's going on, what Chazal is saying. Basically, there is criticism of Daniel. Everybody is surprised. Ketzad b'sha'ah ha'goralit shabo amdu Hananiah v'chaverav, at this fateful time that the three friends were standing on their lives. Where was Daniel? Where was he? Dafka az lo hayasham Daniel. Ella asak b'yishuvo shel olam. He was busy with keeping the world going. Shitef pu'ula im Nebuchadnezzar. He was doing what Nebuchadnezzar wanted him to do. Pa'al b'sheruto, he served him. Kiyem et malchuto v'chizek et kocha. He was establishing the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar and strengthening it. According to Rav, what he was doing is, he was helping him with commerce. He dug this river and either made a bridge or a canal, something through the water. Hevi mayim v'chayim la'olam. In other words, he brought water. He brought commerce. He helped the nation. For Shmuel, here's the one that I didn't understand. He's talking about something less positive. He brought some kind of seeds, some kind of special food. She'enam ochel nafshi kiuni b'sisi. In other words, it wasn't some kind of food that they needed to live. It was food that they needed to just to keep their animals happy, keep the simple people happy. He was doing his job, says Shmuel. He was being, if you don't mind my saying, a good boy. And the third one is even more critical, of course. He was bringing something that goes totally against our feeling of an important job to do. The people of Babel enjoyed these very special pieces of pork that came out of Alexandria. And Daniel, it's like we get a little feeling of ugh inside, was very busy in the import-export business at the time, bringing these delicacies. Basically, what is it that Chazal are teaching us? Remember, we talked about the different models of how a person acts in Galut. You can work with the people and try to be as invisible as possible, doing what you're supposed to do. You can object quietly in the background, like Esther, until you have to come to the fore, of course. Or you can do what Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did. But remember that if you do what Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did, you might Your star might burn out. You might not be able to do anything more for Am Yisrael in Galut again. Whereas if you do what you're supposed to do, then you have the opportunity to be present and to work for Am Yisrael for as long as you live. So now I gave you a lot to think about. Tremendous amount to think about. This medrash, I think, is so overwhelming that you almost do not know where to leave it alone, because it really tries to take this story and go a little bit further, really look into it and see what is it that we learn from that story. We have 1 minute. Have you noticed? We have 1 minute. And in that 1 minute, we have to take a breath and look just at the first pasuk at the next parak, so that we know that Daniel is here. That was the whole thing about Daniel. Daniel goes through this galut period trying to save what he can. And so we have Perek Dalet, Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. But this dream he remembers. And this dream seems to be much simpler than the other dream. And yet his wise men once again cannot interpret it, even though he remembers it. And again he calls Daniel, and Daniel is the one that interprets it. And I'm just going to read the first pasuk because it's late. Ana Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar is speaking first person. I, Nebuchadnezzar, Shilei Havet Beveti. I was tranquil. I was at peace within myself. Tranquil is the way you feel internally in my house. V'ra'anan beheichali, and I felt that I was flourishing in my palace, my stance vis-a-vis the entire world. As a king, everything was ra'anan, everything was blossoming, everything was going well. So I, Nebuchadnezzar, yes, he has forgotten all about the Kivshan Ha'esh business. He has forgotten everything that he said about God. And he says, there I was, I, Nebuchadnezzar, the great king, and I was really doing well. Everything was going well in my personal life. I was tranquil. Tranquil is where you don't expect any negatives to come upon you. And I'm flourishing, and I felt that I was really accomplishing as a king. Everything is going well. And suddenly, I had this chalem chazit. I saw a dream, and once again, it was a dream that frightened me. And with that, I'm going to let you go and wish you all a Shavua Tov. And even though we have a very, very limited celebration of Yom Ha'atzma'ut, may it be meaningful for everybody. Of course, Yom HaZikaron, when we remember, unfortunately, all our fallen, may we indeed memorialize them and learn from our lives and theirs, and maybe come together again soon and do some more learning.